Do you ever feel like you're fighting against the currents of life? Well, we have an inspiring segment for you this morning that is sure to touch your heart.
Fountain View Academy also shares music this morning, while Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought. Don't miss a thing.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this morning on Wake Up with Hope. We are so glad that you have chosen to join us.
Yes, we are. We're happy to be starting the day with you, friends. Where are you waking up with us from this morning? Send us a message on our official Wake Up with Hope Facebook page. We would love to hear from you.
Yes, I know we have a lot of viewers from Jamaica, and it's just been a delight to see all the different countries where viewers are watching.
Many people from around the world.
Yeah. So as we get started here today, honey, I have a riddle for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And I'm going to ask you too. See if you can guess. What do we have two of?
Okay.
But we only make use of one. We have two of them, but we only make use of one.
That's a very good question. Can you give me a clue maybe on that?
Okay, I'll give you another clue. Here's one. It's an organ in our bodies shaped like a bean.
Oh, now that makes it really easy.
What?
Could it be a kidney?
Oh, you're good. All right. You know, on today's National Day of the Kidneys, let's highlight this highly important organ of the human body. Though kidneys are small, they do quite a bit of work. Did you know that kidneys are responsible for removing waste and excess liquid from the body by filtering them out from your blood? In fact, our kidneys filter through about 52 gallons of blood a day.
Wow, that is a lot of blood, and that is really incredible. These bodies that God has given us are truly awesome. It's important to keep our kidneys healthy for sure then. According to the National Institute of Health, the best way to protect our kidneys is by preventing or managing health conditions that cause kidney damage, such as diabetes and high blood pressure.
That's right, and this means making healthy food choices. Lots of fresh fruits and frozen or fresh vegetables and whole grains, and cutting back on salt and added sugar. Mm-hmm. And stay away from those high fatty dairy products.
Yes, you know, friends, God longs for each one of us to live a happy and abundant life in every aspect. So we want to wish you all great health.
Amen. And on today's program, friends, we have lots of segments designed to inspire you to live a well-rounded life. So let's begin by taking a look back today on what took place on this day in history.
On March 9, 1959, the first Barbie doll went on display at the American Toy Fair in New York City. 11 inches tall with a waterfall of blonde hair, Barbie was the first mass-produced toy doll in the United States with adult features. The woman behind Barbie was Ruth Handler, who co-founded Mattel Incorporated with her husband in 1945. After seeing her young daughter ignore her baby dolls to play make-believe with paper dolls of adult women, Handler realized there was an important niche in the market for a toy that allowed little girls to imagine the future. The creator of this popular doll was undoubtedly onto something. People need to imagine the future.
You know, as Christians, we look forward to heaven. You know, that eternal kingdom where all will be peace and joy as we dwell with our Creator forever. Today, imagine the future. Live every day thinking about our heavenly future and the blessed hope of Jesus' soon return. And as we turn our eyes to this, our lives will reflect the hope within. And others, too, will be drawn to imagine the future with us. And together, we'll be transformed into that beautiful image of Jesus.
Amen. That was our beautiful thoughts. Do you ever feel like you're fighting against the currents of life? In life, there are currents that lift you up and currents that pull you down. Currents that are safe to drift with and others you must swim against. Currents that bring you to life and others that can pull you to death. Pastor Taj Pakleb takes us on an adventure of currents as he explores the physical beauty of the Galapagos Islands and reveals the amazing spiritual lessons found there.
It was the famous French explorer Jacques Cousteau who once said, "The sea, once it casts its spell, holds one in its net of wonder forever." I experienced the truth of this statement many years ago. From my earliest memories, I was always drawn to the sea. I grew up swimming and surfing, cliff jumping and cave diving, immersing myself in everything the sea had to offer. The ocean is definitely my favorite playground. For most human beings, there seems to be a natural draw to the water. Its views are calming, and its embrace is refreshing. Perhaps this natural draw comes from the fact that we've spent the first 9 months of our existence in it. And ever since birth, it has always been a part of us. 60% of our body is made up of water. It's literally in our blood. And during times of inexpressible joy or unspeakable sorrow, our deepest emotions are expressed by the salt water of our tears. For me, the ocean is my comfort place. It is my therapeutic haven where I can be still and connect with the Creator. It is the only way to visit another world without leaving planet Earth. The ocean is a water world of liquid wonder just waiting to be explored. I've had the privilege of diving in many different parts of the ocean, and the sea never ceases to amaze me with its power and beauty. But of all the waters I've immersed myself in, the waters of Galapagos have definitely been the most challenging, but at the same time, the most rewarding. The Galapagos are a chain of volcanic islands located 600 miles off the coast of Ecuador in the Great Pacific Ocean. The surrounding open ocean waters drops to a depth of over 9,000 feet. The islands are just the tips of underwater volcanoes that have united in a vast underwater platform. The massive submarine slopes rise from the ocean floor, breaking the ocean surface into the island chain that we see and walk upon today. Straddling the equator, most would assume that the waters of Galapagos are warm and tropical, but there are strong currents that create a much cooler climate than one would expect. In fact, there are three main currents that converge on this island paradise. The warm Panama flow coming from the northeast, the cold Cromwell currents advancing from the west, then you have the strong Humboldt currents surging from the Antarctic south. These strong currents make these waters extremely challenging to explore. Being located in the deep blue sea and subject to this convergence of currents, Galapagos is ruled by the brutal forces of nature. But this is also the reason for the abundance of life. When the underwater currents clash with the Galapagos platform, it shoots up from the ocean floor, bringing a mineral and nutrient-rich upwelling to the surface. As the equatorial sun bathes the mineral-rich waters, it triggers blooms of microscopic algae and phytoplankton. Then, through the means of photosynthesis, the algae bloom creates 50 to 80% of the world's oxygen. You see, without the currents that cause the bloom of algae, which create the oxygen, life on Earth would be unsustainable. The phytoplankton also forms the foundation of the ocean food chain. It is eaten by zooplankton, which in turn is eaten by tiny fish, which are then eaten by bigger and bigger fish, all the way up the food chain. And this is the reason why so much diversity of life, big and small, intercept here at the Galapagos. It is a major feeding station in the Pacific. So the strong and challenging currents, mixing with the warm equatorial sun, are basically the lifeline that sustains all life in this region. We are literally drifting in a current of life. Oceanic highways of health that serve as a marine buffet for the local residents and traveling nomads of the sea. Diving in these strong currents can be challenging and at times even dangerous. But for those who are up to the challenge, it brings the incredible reward of seeing the beauty and power of God up close in living creation. As we've drifted with the various schools of marine life and the currents of Galapagos, I've learned a thing or two about currents. One of them is this. There are currents that lift you up and currents that pull you down. Currents that are safe to drift with and others you must swim against. Currents that bring you to life and others that can pull you to death. In order to safely dive in the Galapagos, you must not only drift in the right current, but you must also carry a reef hook in case you encounter a bad current. The reef hook serves as a personal anchor that holds you to the rock. Each diver must have their own. When the currents are ripping, it is not wise to trust in the anchor of your dive buddy. Each must have their own personal connection to the rock in order to be safe. Each must choose for themselves to hang on and not let go. For it is our connection to the rock that enables us to withstand the strong currents seeking to pull us to our demise. We're not strong enough to stand against the current, but the mighty rock is strong enough. This reality is also true in life above the surface. You see, living in a world of sin, seldom do we find ourselves in perfectly peaceful conditions. There are constant currents of influence trying to pull us in many different directions. There are hellish influences that are constantly pulling us down in disobedience, discouragement, and spiritual death. But then there are also heavenly influences that are always seeking to lift us up in trustful faith, blessed hope, and unconditional love. You see, in order to be successful in life, we must choose wisely which current we allow to carry us, which influence we will choose to follow. Sometimes it's hard to resist the down currents that are pulling us in the wrong direction. Sometimes it's just easier to go with the surges and urges of our own carnal flesh. And sometimes we don't have the strength to resist the pull of what is popular or the flow of what is forbidden. But we can't afford to allow ourselves to be carried away, pulled down by a world that is drifting in the wrong direction. So in times like these, what we need is to be anchored to the immovable rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He is the one, the only one that can rescue us from the currents of death and carry us in the currents of unfailing love to the great heavenly haven above. And so today, I encourage you to allow the rich current of God's love to lift you up to life more abundant and life everlasting. And when the down currents of death begin to pull you away, be very sure that your anchor holds and grips to the solid rock. So hold on and don't let go. And may the rich currents of blessing continue to flow.
Friends, we are delighted to spend time with you this morning. Coming up next, we have music from Fountain View Academy and an inspirational devotional from Faith for Today.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment.
And check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back.
Friend, you have been redeemed. The blood of Jesus has redeemed each one of us and paved the way for us to have a place in that eternal kingdom.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Listen now as Fountain View Academy sings this powerful song.
No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell.
Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, His child and forever.
I
of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. His love is the theme of my song. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemer.
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, Faith for Today is bringing us a powerful devotional thought. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, tells a story of a young woman who wanted to go to college, but her heart sank when she read the question on the application blank that asked, "Are you a leader?" Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote, "No," and returned the application expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received this reply from the college. "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." As many of you know, one of the loneliest things you can ever do is lead. You'll never feel more alone than when you are leading. But I want to share some very assuring news with you today. In your life, you do not have to fight your battles alone. One of the places that we can find this in Scripture is Joshua chapter 5, which reads, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?'" Now, there are times in life that are in such turmoil that we don't even recognize God when he's come into our mess. Joshua has got the war thing down pat. Some of you are the same way. We don't have to motivate you to speak your mind. I don't need to tell you how to be aggressive. Some of you are ready to fight and then find out what you're fighting about. Joshua would go to war in a flash. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. God can use it. You don't need to squash it. You just need to control it. Joshua is getting ready to take on the battle of his life, and he is in the most tense moment before the ultimate battle in a series of battles. He is in the practice of battle. He has made a habit of being in battle, and he sees a man standing before him. So he runs up to him and says, "Are you for us or against us? Friend or foe? Same team or spy?" Joshua ran up to this man, but he actually wasn't a man at all. It was God. We get so caught up in all the constant battles in our lives that we don't always recognize God in the situation. God is with you in the midst of the wilderness. You are not on your own. You don't have to do all of your battles alone. If you'll just give him honor and glory in this place, he will fight your battles for you. Now, Joshua has just taken over leadership over the children of Israel. This is his first test. This is his first chance to prove that he's fit to be a leader. You are a leader. The challenge is that as you lead, you are constantly facing new things. If you're not a leader, then you are a repeater. The great challenge of being a leader is that every day you cannot live as if you have everything down pat, because every day you're facing something new in an unknown area all the time. God is asking Joshua to do something new and uncharted. He wants the children of Israel to let God fight the battle against Jericho. Joshua is not a reserved, passive person who procrastinates. He's an aggressive warrior. He's a relentless, tenacious fighter. And interestingly, the thing that makes him a great leader is also the thing that almost kills him. It's common that your greatest strength can also become your greatest weakness if you find yourself in the wrong place. Joshua is strong and a fighter and headstrong. And perhaps the people are excited by the new leadership because Joshua was a decisive, straight-shooting guy. And Moses at times came across as the guy who had led them all in circles for a long time. Moses was a great leader, and God had hand-selected him. But Moses increasingly became more and more frustrated by his position until finally he found himself venting his frustration from the platform. You cannot lead if your fuel is frustration. It leads to simple, closed-minded leadership. You cannot lead a movement when your emotions are more transparent than your mission. Many times when God starts training you, he starts training you with turmoil. He allows some turmoil into your life so that you can learn from it, critique it, and prepare yourself for even greater turmoil to come. Joshua went up to him and he asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Joshua asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And this man, who is not really a man, replies, "Neither." God says, "I don't take your side. I'm asking you to take my side." In the turmoil, we ask God if he's for us or against us, but God says, "Neither. I'm not your secret weapon, your ace card, your magic fairy dust. I have a plan that will work if you want to be part of that winning plan. It's your choice. But whether you get everything that you want out of this life or whether all of your problems and troubles are resolved before heaven is, in most cases, irrelevant. Some of the things in your life are merely the consequences of some of your choices." What did Joshua do when he realized that his place of crisis was also holy ground? He worshiped. When you make a church in the place of your crisis, you become a conqueror. What God instructed Joshua to do seemed ludicrous. He didn't instruct him to rally and to attack, to devise a better strategy, to concoct a display of power that would show the world the true power of God. They didn't do any of that. And if they would have, they would have trampled on God's plan. God says, "I have a better plan. It will not make sense, but I just need you to walk around the walls of Jericho for a week. It's my plan. And my plans only make sense after you see their fulfillment." A more modern illustration of this happened when John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides Islands. One night, hostile natives surrounded the mission station, intent on burning out the Pattons and killing them. Patton and his wife prayed during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ. Remembering what had happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, "Well, who were all those men with you there?" Patton knew no men were present, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. Whatever battles you are facing right now, you do not have to fight them alone. You have a God with a bigger and better plan. Let us all take assurance in that truth today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roy.
And thank you, friends, for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We'll be talking with Ronnie Mills and have music by Taylor Fa'ayu. And Pastor Mark Finley will join us for our devotional thought. We can't wait to see you then.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. And friends, we're going to share with you a Bible promise that we want you to take to heart as you continue with this day. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9.
It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Friends, God is faithful, and He has called you, yes, you, to partner with Him as we navigate through life. You know, cling to that precious promise found in Jesus. You can be sure that He will be a faithful friend.
Amen. We've enjoyed spending time with you this morning, and we wish you a blessed day.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, as human beings living in this fallen world, we know that our hearts crave security. We want to be on solid ground, on firm foundation. And so today, Lord, we take to heart these promises that we reflected on today. We take to heart the message through music. And Lord, we want to trust in You today. We want to be on solid ground. We want to be able to keep our faith only on You. And by doing so, our hearts will remain filled with hope continuously throughout the day. Thank You, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.